ruling on whether Apple has paid its fair share of tax in Ireland could be headed to Europe's top court. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Today's the deadline for the European Commission to appeal a lower court's landmark ruling back in July that Apple did not have to pay back more than $16 billion in tax advantages to Ireland. Seamus Coffey, a lecturer in the Department of Economics at University College Cork, explains why such an appeal matters not just to Apple, but other big multinational companies.
It's not so much about the rules in Ireland or the tax rate in Ireland. It is about the specifics of the Apple case. I think other companies will be looking at this from the point of view of where the European Commission is going. Are they likely to take other similar cases? It's unlikely to result in significant changes in formal tax rules. But I do think that the overall approach of the European Commission, this use of competition policy to try and address what they see as issues in the tax system, will be of interest to other companies. Remember, this isn't a tax investigation. This is a competition investigation.
And the EU's competition watchdog, Margaret Vestager, her legacy, really reigning in big tech, sort of rests on this decision, doesn't it?
Yes, she's put a lot of political capital in this approach and went for what we might call a big bang approach when it came to Apple. There would have been other options available. She's made a lot of the announcement, the fact of trying to tow big tech and bring them into line. She's unlikely to let this one drop. And from a political perspective, I think an appeal is likely as much as a legal perspective.
How quickly do you think we could get a decision on this?
Oh, I think it will take a number of years. Today we'll have the announcement whether the appeal will take place. Then you'll have the pleas that both sides have made. And then it'll take a number of years before the final judgment is reached. So I think it could be 2 or 3 years.
Seamus Coffey from the University College Cork. Thanks for your time.
No problem.
Checking the numbers now, global shares are taking a breather today after a roller coaster week that saw Asia notch its worst 5-day stretch since March. Benchmarks across Europe are little changed. The euro is on track for its worst week since the end of March as worries continue to mount about the economic impact a second wave of coronavirus will have. Harley-Davidson has decided to pack up and end its manufacturing operations in India, the world's biggest motorcycle market. That's because the company, which opened a plant there in 2011, has struggled to compete with other local and international brands, as the BBC's Nikhil Anamdar reports.
This decision to exit India is part of Harley-Davidson's global restructuring strategy, where they're narrowing their focus to core markets. Now, they've really struggled to find a foothold in India, selling less than 3,000 units per year. And it's also a setback for the Modi government's bid to attract global manufacturing, because it comes in the backdrop of Toyota saying it won't expand in the country, General Motors pulling out in 2017, and Ford pairing its operations as well. Now, global automakers have really struggled in India due to high taxes, both on vehicles as well as fuel, and high import duties has been a major flashpoint between the Modi and Trump governments in recent years. Trump had famously used Harley as an example to point fingers at India and say that it was the king of high tariffs. In Mumbai, I'm the BBC's Nikhil Anandar for Marketplace.
The Tokyo Olympics might be postponed until next year, but the president of the International Olympic Committee, or the IOC, is staying optimistic. In a 2-day series of press events continuing this morning, Thomas Bach argued sports around the world have come back and shown events can continue safely, even without a COVID-19 vaccine. Millions of dollars are on the line, though, not just in infrastructure investment, but sponsorship deals, as Simon Chadwick, a professor at the Eurasian sport industry at M. Lyon Business School, explains.
When it comes to sponsorship, it's a really complex picture because there are different kinds of sponsors involved. And at the very top level, big global brands that have contracts with the IOC, not just for the Tokyo Games, but for lots of Olympic Games. And one could imagine that these sponsors are going to be working in conjunction with the IOC to look at different approaches and different solutions, because inevitably, for these big brands, they pay a lot of money, they want a return on investment, but more than that, they have a long-term and trusted relationship with the IOC. What they won't want to do is they won't want to jeopardize their relationship with the Olympic movement, because presumably they're looking towards Beijing 2022 and beyond to Paris, and maybe even further than that. And so they'll be looking for a collaborative way forward. Beneath that, what you have are something in the region of 70 Japanese companies and brands that are associated with the Tokyo Games. And it may be more difficult to convince them not to unilaterally withdraw.
Have we seen any sponsors flee yet because of the difficult business environment? As we know, it doesn't matter how big or how small you are, coronavirus has dealt a serious blow to nearly every industry this year. And just this week, we saw Qantas and its 30-year sponsorship of Australia's rugby team. So this isn't unprecedented, is it?
At the moment, I'm unaware of any withdrawals, but that surely has to be on the radar of the IOC because brands across the world are looking at their budgets. They're questioning whether sponsorships offer good value for money. In some stark and simple instances, there are sponsors that have gone out of business across the world of sport. And so no matter how sensitive the IOC tries to manage this, the harsh reality for everybody right now is that some of those sponsorship deals potentially are in danger and they may withdraw. And but it may well be that between now and next summer, there may be instances where sponsors simply go out of business or cut budgets and withdraw.
Can they survive that?
I think the IOC can survive it. It's obviously an organization that operates in a very different way to other businesses in the sense that its revenue generating cycle is heavily skewed towards the years when they have events. And so I think the IOC is already set up to account for this kind of peculiar mode of operation. It does have long-term trusted partners that are paying an awful lot of money. But all organizations, all sponsors, all businesses, all brands are exposed to a certain extent. And I think one of the things that the IOC is trying to do is to make sure that the Games does go ahead so that their contracts with these big sponsors are not in jeopardy in any way.
Professor Simon Chadwick, thanks for breaking this all down.
Thank you.
Finally, while travel might still be just a memory for some of us, one airline is bringing the in-flight experience home. Australia's Qantas is auctioning off 1,000 of its fully stocked bar carts used on its now retired 747 jets. For nearly $1,000, you get 40 mini bottles of red and white wine, one bottle of champagne, two amenity kits, and a set of PJs with a throw blanket. All the benefits of a cozy in-flight experience now at home. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.